Word of mouth.
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 From New Hampshire Public Radio, this is Word of Mouth. I'm Virginia Prescott. The recession has not been kind to America's malls. The cavernous halls of commerce that once drew shoppers from Main Street USA to unlimited parking and miles of Cinnabon-scented, climate-controlled shopping are no longer consumer havens. Borders is out of business. Big box shops are shuttered. Gone are the Gaps and sunglass huts of yesteryear, turning vacant retail space into opportunities for experiments. New York Times reporter Stephanie Clifford wrote about the repurposing of malls and joins us with more. Stephanie, nice to have you with us.
Thanks.
Just how bad is it for American malls right now?
It is about as bad as it's been in a good 20 years. The vacancy rate at shopping malls, so the shopping centers and strip malls, is at 11%, and that's the highest that it's been since 1991. And the vacancy rate for the bigger malls is also quite high, so they're in real trouble in a lot of areas.
So mall owners and developers are now focusing on new ways to use these empty spaces. You visited some of them, including the Galleria in Cleveland, Ohio. What are they doing there?
Well, it's interesting because the cities, in many cases, cannot afford to knock down the malls, so they can't sort of start over. And they're left with this quandary about what to do with this giant, empty, hulking space that isn't doing anybody any good. So the Cleveland example is the Galleria at Erie View, which when it opened was this great mall. It had 70 retailers, all sorts of food options. Now it's down to 7 retailers. It's closed on weekends because there's such little interest in going to this mall.
Closed on weekends at a mall, which
is an amazing testament to how little demand there is for that structure. But they looked at the mall and they realized they had these glass enclosed atriums and wondered if they couldn't start growing food there. So they've transferred some dirt in and they've started growing things like kale and lettuce and planting seeds. And it's actually brought a little vibrancy back to the mall because now people go there to buy these items and to sort of see this grand experiment in the mall as greenhouse.
Interesting, because the malls were often decried as sort of robbing localism, and it sounds almost like they're trying to recreate that local communal, you know, town square.
Yeah, that's exactly right, because they're realizing that people in many cases don't want to shop in giant enclosed malls. So a lot of malls that are surviving are trying to make themselves over into more Main Street-like environments. So they're offering access to the street, so you can just walk in off the street to the mall and don't have to go in a central hallway. They're taking away a lot of the parking because that is just this great expanse of asphalt that isn't too welcoming. They're trying to connect it more with local transit and offer things like farmers markets, and even one mall has added a mini golf course and a putting green and a dog run. So it's much more like a downtown.
The cheap retail space is also drawing in some kind of non-traditional tenants. What did you find?
There's a lot of dollar stores opening up, and the Cleveland mall executive who I talked to said that the minute that the dollar store came into the Cleveland mall, she knew they were in real trouble. Galleries are another option. And then in a lot of cases, they're thinking about them as city centers. So they're offering space to schools or to government and using them in sort of a more functional way.
Hmm. This is what I guess planners call adaptive reuse, you know, sort of taking an old building and repurposing it for something else. Who is driving this? Are these planners, retailers?
It's the retailers that are doing well are trying to just stay in really good malls that have a lot of traffic, and there are some of those left. The landowners and the companies that have built these malls are trying to figure out what to do with them. And then the cities are really pushing. They're thinking about the malls as sort of central locations for the community and what they can do to make them more vibrant now that a lot of the retail has left.
It's interesting. Of course, you're writing for the New York Times, and the comments are quite revealing. There's a lot about, you know, suburbia is dead, or this proves that trickle-down economics doesn't work. I mean, I think people are throwing a lot of ideas at it, but maybe the predominant one, that the suburban way of life is, let's say, transforming. Do you think that's true?
It is true. As suburban communities build more light rail and get a much younger population in, the makeup of those communities has really changed. And the people that live there now want a lot of the urban amenities, even if they are living outside of the cities. So in a lot of cases, it's the local towns and villages trying to respond to their new residents.
We're talking with New York Times reporter Stephanie Clifford. She wrote about the repurposing of malls, many of them left vacant by the recession and also by the deluge of online retailers that's keeping people shopping at home. Do urban malls face the same kind of challenges as suburban counterparts?
Urban malls are, it depends on the city. In so many cities, there's been an ongoing revival of downtown. And in those cities, the urban malls are doing just fine. In a lot of cities, Cleveland, Columbus, not to focus on Ohio, mm-hmm. but people have left the downtowns and they're not as highly trafficked as they were. So there you have these giant buildings in the middle of downtown that maybe never really belonged there in the first place, but they have to figure out what they can do.
In fact, Seattle was one of the models that you looked at. What are they trying to do?
Seattle has a mall called Northgate, and the city planners are really interested in it because there are jobs around it, it's sort of at a transit hub, and it's an appealing location. So they have tried to make Northgate sort of back into what it was before a mall was built there. They've restored a creek that ran under the parking lot. They've added a senior center, and they're working with the retailers who are resistant, but they're working with the retailers in the mall, which is actually a fine mall and doing well, mm-hmm. To open up the mall to the street and maybe continue the street grid pattern through the mall so it becomes a little more accessible by foot or by bike.
I'm wondering how age factors into this. I mean, many 30-somethings who now have kids and would be the mall shoppers, I would imagine, grew up roaming the malls. Are they sentimental? Do they want the malls to be brought back?
It's interesting. If you talk to some of these people, they are very nostalgic about the malls, and they had their proms in malls, or they went there after school to hang out and have the Cinnabon and the coffee. So there is a nostalgia for it. At the same time, I think the living patterns have changed and the transportation patterns have changed such that for a lot of them, it's not a relevant way of shopping anymore.
Hmm. So what's happening with the malls that have had to just completely shut down?
In some cases, the cities have found the funds to knock them down. So in Columbus, they knocked down a downtown mall and made it into a park, which has gotten some people questioning whether it's a good use of money and others saying, no, it's a great sort of central part of town now. So where they can't knock it down, it just sits there kind of bringing down property values around it and becoming a place for crime. So. That's why there's so much of a push to find solutions.
So what do you think? You know, having looked at these, some of the adaptive reuses, the golf courses, the parks, the senior centers, how are they going to fare? Too soon to tell or things looking up?
It seems like a really interesting reuse of these spaces. And from what the malls are seeing so far, there's a lot of interest in coming back to these places that people had been avoiding for at least a decade.
Well, Stephanie, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Stephanie Clifford covers the retail industry for the New York Times. You can read her article about mall repurposing at wordofmouthradio.org. The comments alone are really worth a look. You can also send us a tweet about what you'd like to see at your local mall. Our handle, @wordofmouth. Now stay with us. We're going to hear some of the heartfelt science fiction tunes of a Portland rocker. Stay tuned for that when Word of Mouth continues from New Hampshire Public Radio. Thank you.